for R&D and production. So our company MECHAM is specialized in advanced permanent magnet inspection using magnetic field camera technology that we have developed already a long time ago and continue developing. And this technology is used to inspect all kinds of permanent magnets and magnet assemblies. So in this presentation, I will first start with an overview of the company, what we do, and then what our technology is doing. And then we will apply it to a case study, namely testing of recycled magnets at high temperatures, where grain boundary diffusion is also applied. And we can then see in situ magnetic field mapping and magnet quality inspection at up to 120 degrees. And this also allows to study the reversibility of demagnetization effects at higher temperatures. And our data analysis software, MagScope, is an instrumental part of this analysis. So our mission is to provide the best-in-class magnet inspection equipment for permanent magnet inspection and permanent magnet assemblies, like permanent magnet rotors, for example. And they are obviously used in a number of high-end application industries like automotive, consumer electronics, wind energy, e-mobility, robotics, medical, and so on. And of course, the magnet production, the whole value chain is important in ensuring the quality. We have many customers in all these fields, a lot in automotive, and in all types of application industries where high-end permanent magnets are used, and the quality of permanent magnets is critical to the application performance. So what technology do we use and produce to do this magnet inspection? It is our 3D magnetic field camera technology, which allows fast mapping of magnetic field distributions of permanent magnets. This is done using our proprietary magnetic field camera technology, which is essentially a high-density magnetic field camera with a matrix of Hall sensors integrated on one single chip. This allows to have a high density of measurement points and a fast readout, resulting in high-resolution magnetic field images. And these magnetic field images, they contain a lot of information about the quality of the magnet, because you cover the whole area, you have very high resolution, you can do localized magnet inspection, and it's beautiful pictures as well, and they contain a lot of information. And with the right data analysis tools, which our software is providing, you can extract a lot of magnet quality characteristics from these images. So our 3D magnetic field camera measures three components of the magnetic field. It has more than 16,000 pixels on the active surface, and it, in combination with our software, you can have we have a whole array of solutions for magnet inspection, as I will show you. For small magnets, up to about 10 millimeters, you can actually directly put a magnet onto this sensor. So there's no moving parts, and in less than 1 second, you have a full magnetic field distribution with high resolution, and the software analyzes it for different applications. There's a range of different analysis methods that are included in the software, and these give then ready pass-fail results, for example, if in production, or just you can play with the results and do it manually for R&D. So there's possibilities to integrate it in R&D departments, quality control labs, and also automated production lines for fast inline 100% production inspection. Then, if the magnets are larger, we have developed scanners, scanning systems, and also for rotating magnet assemblies like rotors, both axial and radial flux rotors, for example, are of course very common magnet assemblies where we have ready solutions. For a large magnet, we use our combi scanner, like you see on the right side. It's very versatile. It can measure magnet assemblies and magnets up to 300 by 300 millimeters in the XY lateral size, and in the height, it can also go up to 300 millimeters in volume. For example, electric motor rotors can be clamped and also measured the complete body of the rotor. And this gives this kind of pictures. So for like single magnets, this is a block magnet, but it can be anything. It can also be a Halbach array, two-dimensional Halbach array, for example, which much more complex magnetization structures. You get these kind of images. This is an actual flux rotor. It's just the same scanner with a rotation table on it, and we measure like a record player type of measurement, and then you get these kind of images, the three components of the magnetic field. So that when you see three images, it's typically three components: the axial component or the Z, the tangential, and the radial component. And for all these components, you can do all kinds of analyses, like cross sections, integrations, Fourier analysis, pole peak findings, zero crossings. So in the meantime, we have a very good understanding of how the magnetic field properties of such measurements correlate with the end-of-line properties of, for example, an electric motor. We know, for example, how we can detect a cocking torque already at the stage of the bare rotor. For example, we know that the spread on pole peaks is a very important indicator of cocking torque and torque ripple, the spread on the strength of the field. And by integrating the absolute value of the field, we can also predict the full torque and power of the motor and make quality assessments before assembly of the full motor. So this is about motors. This is example of such a motor measurement, a rotor measurement. So this is just a three-segment rotor with some step skewing, and you see that the magnetic field camera is scanning the rotor. The speed of this measurement can be tuned. There's always like a trade-off of resolution and speed. So this can be optimized to have, for example, a little bit coarser resolution but higher speed, or vice versa. Depending in R&D, you would probably do a slower measurement with very high resolution, and in production, a bit coarser resolution but higher speed. All of that is possible. And then the result is directly this high resolution image of the magnetic field distribution. It contains all the details of the quality of this rotor, and by doing on the spot these analyses, which can be pre-configured and saved, you get immediate quantitative output measures for the quality of your rotor. So this can be predefined. You can first study how it correlates with, for example, end of life testing of your rotor, cocking torque, torque ripple, torque. And then when those things are understood, you can just in production do a pass-fail, for example, in a 100% production check. So our software, MaxScope, is an instrumental part of our offering. Once you have these kind of magnetic field images, there's so much information inside, and you can ask a question, okay, how does this translate to the quality of my end product? Because in the end, our customers want to make good products, and they don't care so much about what is the field value at this particular position, but rather how does this complete image translate in how my end device will function. And for that, it's of course important to know what the application is, what aspects of the field are important for the functioning of the device, and then with initial testing, you can define tolerances, for example, on magnetic field values. And there's a whole array of analysis functions available for actually any application. And if it doesn't exist, we just make it for you. Okay, so measuring of individual magnets. So in the remainder of the talk, I will mainly talk about individual magnets. So with a scanner, you can measure larger magnets. We measure the field distribution, and from the field distribution, you can say something about the inside of the magnet. And the inside of the magnet is very important for the material characteristics. For example, this is a block magnet, which is measured with a magnetic field camera. You can see that it has a pretty symmetric shape. Now, for such types of magnets, You can also simulate what the field should be given a perfect magnet. So what we made is a step further. We integrate theoretical magnet models of all kinds of shapes, and we can fit the model to the measured magnetic field distribution. So this module in our software is called MagFit. And MagFit can find what is the internal magnetization of this magnet, which results in this externally measured magnetic field distribution. And so by fitting, it can find not only like a BZ component, but also the angle error, which is an important quality metric of magnets. The angle error is quantitatively determined with this method. And this image on the lower right is the difference of the measurements and the best fit theoretical image. So that means that on this image, you have subtracted the background of a perfect magnet, or at least not a perfect magnet, but one which might have angle deviation, for example, and which has a certain magnetization value. And on this map, you see everything which in your real magnet is not homogeneous, because the theoretical model assumes a homogeneous magnet. So this is a very powerful image. And in the meantime, we have not only models for uniform magnets of all shapes, but also multipole magnets, and non-uniform magnetizations can also be fitted. But that's not the topic of this presentation. If you would wonder, that is also possible. One thing I want to show as an example, this is a magnet with a low angle deviation, and you can see it because already from the core image, you have a symmetric magnetic field distribution. Okay, so this has, for example, an angle deviation of only 0.1 degree or something. Now I'm going to show an image of a magnet with a high angle deviation. You can here already see that the magnetic field distribution has an asymmetry to it. These corners are stronger on the top than on the bottom. That's already a qualitative indication of an angle, but you want to know a quantitative value. You want to know how many degrees, because on the spec sheet of magnets, if you buy magnets, you want to say, I want magnets with an angle lower than, for example, 3 degrees. That's quantitative. And by using our MagFit method, fitting the model to the measurement, we quantitatively get this angle out. So in this particular case, this was 5.8 degrees. It's already quite large angle deviation. And you can see that in the residual image, there's actually no trace of asymmetry anymore. The residual is symmetric, so it means that this whole asymmetry has been absorbed by the theoretical model. And this value of 5.8 degrees that comes out is really accounting for the whole angle deviation of the magnet, together with, of course, the magnetization value itself. For example, here it finds 1.39 Tesla, so you can also say something about the grade of the magnet. And of course, in this image, you see if there's any inhomogeneity in the magnet. In this case, probably there are some edge rounding effects. We can also model the edge rounding and so on, so actually we can do better than what is shown here. But this is using a perfect block model, which is the simplest model that we have. Okay, so now I'm coming to the core of the talk, which is about recycled magnets. So we use our techniques and measurement and analysis techniques to measure all kinds of magnets. We do it all the time as service measurements for customers. Of course, we also sell our devices. We are very flexible in how we work together. And in this for this presentation, we work together with the Hochschule Pforzheim to test some of their magnets. So we got 3 magnets from them, which are recycled neodymium iron boron material with grain boundary diffusion treatments. I'm not going to say too much about the production process. To be honest, I don't know too many details about it. Of course, I can refer to the excellent speech of this morning by Dr. Konrad Opelt from Fraunhofer. He very well introduced this topic and explained it, also the grain boundary diffusion. So what we got is three samples which nicely fit on our magnetic field camera. One of them had a fully treated grain boundary diffusion, one only at the corners, and one half-half, so only half of the magnet was treated. And then the question is, can we see any sign of this in the magnetic field distribution? And then we also went a step further, and we heated the magnets to different temperatures, up to 120 degrees, and we measured in situ the magnetic field distribution, and also after returning to room temperature, to see if there's any magnetization loss, how homogeneous it is, etc., etc. So I must say that these results are rather preliminary, so there's more analysis to be done on it, but here are already some interesting results. So the fully grain boundary diffusion treated sample, virgin state at room temperature, looks like this in its magnetic field distribution. So we can see that there, here you see a contour map of the field distribution. Here is a color scale to have an idea of the magnetic field. And here are cross sections, one here near the border and one through the middle of the magnet, to have an idea how this magnetic field distribution looks. So we can see that there's some level of inhomogeneity to it. The question is, what is the source? What is the root cause? It could be material inhomogeneity, magnetization process, pressing, something in the process probably. So these are things that are readily seen and can be optimized in the production process. And with our technique, it is very fast to measure a manufactured magnet, so we can also very quickly cycle to different parameters in the production process. It is very straightforward, for example, to do a design of experiments test, where you have a number of process parameters that are chosen with different combinations. Samples are made with all these combinations, and then you have a very fast results of the quality, and you can converge very fast to optimized production process parameters. And I think this will be critical in the development of production processes for recycled magnets, because you want, of course, the politics is pushing everyone to go fast, to be self-sustainable to a certain degree, obviously, for having locally produced magnets. Okay, so back to the magnet here. You can see, although it is labeled as being fully grain boundary diffusion treated, there are still some asymmetries. So probably the diffusion process, for example, was not everywhere exactly the same. Okay, it's probably a matter of optimizing some process parameters. And also for the homogeneity, it remains to be seen what is the reason for that. Now, we go to the half-half sample. And here, the left half of the sample was treated with grain boundary diffusion, and the right half not. What you can already see from the contour plot, the color plot, and the cross section is that you have a clear asymmetry, that the left side has a stronger field already at room temperature, and the right side is a bit weaker, both on the edge and in the center. But it is not so that you would see a clear line through the center. So that's maybe something you could expect, but it's not so that you really see, like here, the half of the magnet. It's rather at the boundaries and the corners where the main differences are seen. And then the third sample, the corners sample, where the corners are treated. I'm not sure up to what position exactly the corners were treated, but you also see some asymmetry. It looks a bit like the half-half sample. A clear effect, obviously, of the grain boundary diffusion already at room temperature, so that's already clear. Okay, so now the next step is that we will heat these magnets. Actually, we did multiple intermediate steps, but I will only show the results at the highest temperature, like 120 degrees. But there are similar effects visible already at 80 degrees. So we did 80, 100, 120. But here you see the extreme case of 120. So this is an in situ measurement, and the color scales are all fixed relative to the previous one. So you really see it's much fainter, so the field has diminished quite a lot. So what can you see here? This is the full sample. You see that the magnetic field is much smaller. This is in situ, so really at 120 degrees. And through the middle, you even have areas where there's hardly any magnetic field left. The borders are the strongest, suggesting that the grain boundary diffusion has the most effects apparently in those areas. Then I will show similar images for the half-half sample. And here you see, that's an interesting thing, of course, for the grain boundary diffusion, which is supposed to make the magnets more resilient to higher temperatures, that you see a clear effect on the left side. There is a higher field left, but again, it's mainly concentrated at the borders. So if you look at the line through the middle, in the center here, it doesn't really give a lot of difference, only at the border. And in the corner area, you can see that it's actually probes a little bit deeper into the edge. And here, as probably as to be expected, but one of the findings here is already that the corners and the borders are seem to have a more effect of the grain boundary diffusion. So then the corners sample, we see something very similar. So at the corner here, clearly these are more resilient. They have a higher field still than the other corners, which were not treated. And through the middle, we don't see much difference except for the edge. So okay, these magnets are obviously they are thin plates with a perpendicular magnetization. And this kind of effect is already visible at 80 degrees. I didn't show it, not to overload you with information. But you could ask the question, shouldn't such magnets be at least usable until 80 degrees, 85 degrees, or 120 degrees for certain grades? One of the answers lies in the shape and the magnetization direction, because if you magnetize a thin plate perpendicular to its small edge, then you have a high demagnetizing field, obviously, which contributes to the demagnetization inside the magnet. So these are actually the worst types of magnets to apply them at high temperature. You would have a much better chance of surviving high temperature if you magnetize along in a length direction where the demagnetizing field is much lower. Now the next question is, these are in situ measurements at 120 degrees of the field distribution. What happens when we now reverse or return to room temperature? Is this reversible or irreversible, this magnetization? And that we can also investigate very accurately by just, letting cool down the sample again and doing the measurements again at room temperature. And here you see that this full sample, which has returned to room temperature after its exposure to 120, has actually lost a lot of its magnetization permanently. So it was an irreversible loss. If you would really compare, at the end I have a slide with all the images next to each other. This image is very similar to the 120 degree in situ one. It only has increased a little bit due to the temperature coefficient of the magnetization. But other than that, all this magnetization loss is irreversible. And you see that at the edges there is a bit higher field left than at the center. Then if you look at the half-half, there we have a better contrast, of course. You see that it's very similar as the in-situ measurements. The edges and corners have survived better than the center. And here this one is actually the clearest one. You see that this corner has survived. These corners have survived pretty well. The center has lost a lot of its remnants. Here you have all the images side by side, so you can really see. Of course, it's interesting also to look at the 80 degree, 100 degree, and you will see there a gradual declination of the magnetization or of the magnetic field. So it actually shows that for this kind of magnet, it's pretty sensitive to temperature. And this is a very important analysis, I think, for the recycled magnets, because many applications require magnets to be operated at higher temperatures. in electric motors, for example, or in phones. So it's important that the magnets that we will make ourselves will also have a high quality in this respect. And with this type of analysis, it's possible to do so. Okay, so that already brings me to the end of the presentation. I think it's better to keep it not too long, but to give a clear message. So with our company MECHAM, we are specialized in advanced inspection of permanent magnets with our magnetic field cameras, which allows to reveal localized magnet distributions and properties of permanent magnet and assemblies. With our high temperature magnetic field camera, we can also probe in situ in the magnetic field distribution at higher temperatures up to 120 degrees and study effects of reversible versus irreversible magnetization loss and see how magnets behave in the temperature and obviously also after returning from a temperature cycling. And we have applied this to recycled magnets from the Hochschule Pforzheim with a grain boundary diffusion. And this illustrates what type of analysis and studies you can do on this kind of measurements. And the main message here would actually be that with such types of measurements, it should be possible to converge pretty fast to optimized process parameters to have a very good production process for recycled magnets. Thank you for your attention. Are there any questions? So it must have been very clear then. Okay, thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of the show.